I'm going to share a story I've shared before with you. It's about a priest that had a flair for the dramatic. And he wanted to emphasize on the day of Pentecost the story of the Holy Spirit descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And so he had the janitor stationed up in the balcony behind everybody where no one could see him. And he was going to be preaching about the Holy Spirit descending in the form of a dove. And when he would say those words, the janitor was to let go a dove from up in the balcony, and the dove was going to fly all around so that everybody would be amazed and get a visual image of the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus in the form of a dove. And so the priest began to preach, and when he got to the part where the janitor was supposed to let go of the dove, the priest said, "And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove." Nothing happened. Well, he felt maybe the janitor didn't hear him, so he said it a little louder. "And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove." Again, nothing. So he was getting angry by this time, and so he kind of looked up and glared at in the balcony, and he said, "And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove." The congregation heard a voice from the balcony saying, "The cat ate the Holy Spirit. You want me to throw the cat down?" When Jesus was baptized, we see that the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. And everything Jesus did, he did primarily as an example for his disciples to follow. And so Jesus, we see, was baptized. And Jesus encouraged his followers to be baptized as well. But when Jesus was baptized, because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, Jesus already had the Holy Spirit inside of him. And so when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he came upon Jesus for a particular purpose. And that purpose was to anoint Jesus for the ministry for which Jesus was being prepared. And so when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he came upon Jesus in a way that would ultimately be reflected in the same way that the Holy Spirit would come upon the disciples. Of course, the Holy Spirit didn't come upon the disciples in the form of a dove, but the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, as we read in our second lesson today, and in tongues of fire. And so as the Holy Spirit would come upon the apostles and disciples, they were being prepared for the ministry to which Jesus was calling them. Before that time, they had only been doing the ministry that Jesus had wanted them to do and empowered them to do while he was on the earth. But now that he had gone away, he had ascended into heaven, he was going to send to them the Holy Spirit. And we read in our gospel lesson just a moment ago that Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, and it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And so he imparted to them at that time the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of them. They were born again of the Spirit. And so they became Christians at that point. And so now that they are Christians, Jesus would go on to say before he ascended into heaven, "Wait in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high." So even though they had the Holy Spirit, they were still missing something. They were missing something that they needed in order to effectively be Christ's representatives after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And so what they were missing was something that Jesus referred to as the power, the promise of the Father that was to come. The promise of the Father we can see all the way back to John the Baptist. When John the Baptist came along, he said, "I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me is stronger than I am. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so the promise was that there was going to come somebody who was going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Now that baptism of the Holy Spirit, we might think, is associated with water baptism. But it's not associated with that at all, because we see that after the day of Pentecost, it's described as being that fulfillment of what John the Baptist described as being filled with the Holy Spirit, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles and disciples received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, it says that tongues of fire came upon them, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to do that. And so as they did that, it says that they were praising God in a way that they did not know in terms of their own language that they would normally speak. And so as they were speaking, these various tongues, the people around them heard them speaking and were amazed because they realized that these men that were speaking didn't really have the education enough to learn all these different languages. And so they realized that something miraculous was happening. And so we see that after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and disciples, that they began to go out powerfully and minister in the world. They began to make disciples of all nations as Jesus commanded them to do. They began to go out into the world to do the miracles that Jesus did as well. They began to have a great effect, so much so that the church grew by 3,000 people on that first day after Peter began to preach his first sermon. And so we see that once the Holy Spirit comes upon someone, then they have a new power and a new energy, a new enthusiasm, a new desire to share the gospel with others, and also a new power to be able to live the Christian life. And so whatever Jesus did, he did as an example for his apostles and disciples. And so we would understand from that that Jesus, by being baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit, was doing something that he wanted some of his followers and disciples to do as well. You and I often try to do the ministry, our ministries, or ministry out in the world, or share our faith, quite often with our own strength and our own power. And we find that we become fearful, or we find that we don't really have a great desire to do something for the Lord, or maybe we just kind of just go through life without much Christian enthusiasm, shall we say. But once a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a new dimension that comes upon their life. It's much like a gas stove, as I talked about last week. A gas stove has a pilot light. So a pilot light, we might say, represents the Holy Spirit inside of the Christian. Every Christian has the pilot light, has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. But the stove doesn't do any good until the burner is turned on and the gas goes through the pilot light and causes the burner to erupt. And so that's, in a sense, what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the believer. The Holy Spirit wants to come and cause that burner to go whoosh and to come alive and to cause the Christian life to come alive as well. And so when the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit, then something dynamic happens in our lives. In fact, that's the root word of the word, of the power of the Holy Spirit that we read about in the book of Acts. When the word power is used, it's that word, the word from which we get the word dynamite. Dunamis is the word. And so that power of the Holy Spirit can be like dynamite in the Christian life to bring us alive and to cause us to be firing at all cylinders, if you'll allow me to mix a metaphor there, so that we're really working at peak capacity for the Lord. We have a new enthusiasm, we have a new energy, we have a new desire to serve the Lord. When I was first baptized with the Holy Spirit in college, the Bible came alive for me. I began to insatiably want to read more and more and learn more and more about it. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had a new desire to pray that I had never had before. And I had a new effectiveness in prayer. I had a new desire to live a more righteous life. And so all those things were things that happened once I was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That same experience is available for each and every Christian. So how does one receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit? We receive it by simply asking Jesus to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And then expecting to receive that which he wants to give to us. Now, sometimes people are afraid, well, I don't know what's going to happen if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe I'll lose control. Maybe I'll start rolling on the ground, frothing his mouth, swinging from chandeliers. But that isn't what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit doesn't force us to do anything. The Holy Spirit works with our human spirits, causes us to really do those things that Jesus wants us to do. And so if Jesus, as we read in one of the Gospels, says, if you fathers who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? One of the other ways that is translated in one of the other Gospels is, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so if the good gift and the Holy Spirit are equated, then it's something that we would want to receive as Christians, because the Holy Spirit is a good gift. So if we want to receive all that God wants to give to us, The only thing we need to do is to ask. And as we ask, we may not receive something immediately. We may need to continue to ask. And what I found is I had asked quite a number of times before I actually received that, which allowed the Holy Spirit to come and fill me. So it may be the case in your life. You may ask for the first time, and the Holy Spirit may come upon you, and you'll know that that's happened. But it may take a while. So don't get all stressed out about it. Just relax and seek the Lord Jesus, because He is the one who ultimately fills us with the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You that You've given to us a vehicle through which we can experience the power that You gave to Your apostles and disciples, something that we can have to live a more effective Christian life, to do the works that you did on this earth, to be able to be connected better with You. So, Lord, I ask that You would open our hearts to the infilling of Your Holy Spirit, that You would fill us to overflowing, that river of living water would bubble up within us and overflow from us. And Lord, ultimately, that we would receive this not so it would be some sort of goosebump feeling that we might have, but rather so that we might be clothed with power from on high. And I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.